Richard was manacled and chained between a pair of iron pillars when Mr. Croup returned, prodding the Marquis de Carabas with his knife. The angel looked at the Marquis with disappointment on its face. Then, gently, it shook its beautiful head. "You've told me he was dead," it said.
"He is," said Mr. Vandemar.
"He was," corrected Mr. Croup. The angel's voice was a fraction less gentle and less caring. "I will not be lied to," it said.
"We don't lie," said Mr. Croup, affronted.
"Do?" said Mr. Vandemar.
Mr. Croup ran a grimy hand through his filthy orange hair in exasperation.
"Indeed we do, but not this time."
The pain in Richard's hand showed no indication of subsiding.
"How can you behave like this?" he asked angrily. "You're an angel!"
"What did I tell you, Richard?" asked the Marquis dryly. Richard thought.
"You said Lucifer was an angel."
Islington smiled superciliously.
"Lucifer," it said. "Lucifer was an idiot. It wound up lord and master of nothing at all."
The Marquis grinned.
"And you wound up lord and master of two thugs and a room full of candles."
The angel licked its lips.
"They told me it was my punishment for Atlantis. I told them there was nothing more I could have done. The whole affair was..."
It paused as if it were hunting for the correct word. And then it said, with regret,
"Unfortunate."
"But millions of people were killed," said Dor.
Islington clasped its hands in front of its chest as if it were posing for a Christmas card.
"These things happen," it explained, reasonably.
"Of course they do," said the Marquis, mildly, the irony implicit in his words, not in his voice. "Cities sink every day, and you had nothing to do with it?"
It was as if the lid had been pulled off something dark and writhing, a place of derangement and fury and utter viciousness, and, in a time of scary things, it was the most frightening thing Richard had seen. The angel's serene beauty cracked, its eyes flashed, and it screamed at them, crazy, scary, and uncontrolled, utterly certain in its rightness.
"They deserved it!"
There was a moment of silence. And then the angel lowered its head and sighed and raised its head and said, very quietly and with deep regret,
"Just one of those things."
Then it pointed to the Marquis.
"Chain him up," it said.
Croup and Vandemar fastened manacles around the Marquis's wrists and chained the manacles securely to the pillars beside Richard. The angel had turned its attention back to Dor. It walked over to her, reached out its hand, placed it beneath her pointed chin, and raised her head to stare into her eyes.
"Your family," it said gently. "You come from a very unusual family. Quite remarkable."
"Then why did you have us killed?"
"Not all of you," it said.
Richard thought it was talking about Dor, but then it said,
"There was always the possibility that you might not have worked out as well as you did."
It released her chin and stroked her face with long, white fingers. And it said,
"Your family can open doors. They can create doors where there were no doors. They can unlock doors that are locked. Open doors that were never meant to be opened."
It ran its fingers down her neck, gently, as if it were caressing her, then closed its hand on the key about her neck. When I was sentenced here, they gave me the door to my prison, and they took the key to the door and put it down here too. An exquisite form of torture. It tugged gently on the chain, pulling it out from under door's layers of silk and cotton and lace, revealing the silver key, and then it ran its fingers over the key as if it were exploring her secret places. Richard knew, then. The Black Friars were keeping the key safe from you, he said.